having the choice and also thinking about the context of the conversation that you're having with families before you offer that technology as a choice.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mentioned something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Bloxy, the all-in-one 21st century school operating system. With Bloxy, teachers can automate their teaching and regain the time otherwise lost to repetitive and administrative tasks. The AI-powered platform streamlines teaching processes, offering advanced functionalities like formative quiz creation, plagiarism detection, and real-time student progress tracking. Say goodbye to the tech hassles and hello to more time for what truly matters, teaching. But that is not all. Bloxy goes beyond classroom monitoring, further ensuring a safe and productive modern learning environment with AI-powered content filtering and threat detection. For focused and safe learning, head over to bloxy.net, bloxysi.net, to find out more. Maybe even book a free demo. This week's episode is titled, How Digital Forms of Communication Can Impact Relationship Building, with Mike and Nita Creekmore. They are the authors of the new ASCD book, Every Connection Matters, and I love featuring fellow ASCD authors here on the podcast, and this was a very fun conversation. Today, we talk about their experiences as educators and parents as we look at the different ways we communicate and build relationships throughout the school day. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you both about the ways that digital forms of communication can impact relationship building. But before we jump into all of that, would love for you both to share a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Ladies first.
No, it's always me first. Okay. My name is Nita Creekmore, and I have been in education for 20 plus years. I don't want to say exactly how many because that will age me, but I have been an elementary school teacher for about 13, 14 years, and since then been an instructional coach. And so that's what I do now. I'm an instructional coach. I'm also a facilitator and presenter for Bright Morning Consulting, where I do workshops on leading teams, on coaching emotions, on coaching equity, coaching for equity. And so that's how I like my day-to-day looks, is mostly presenting and instructional coaching. I do a little bit of that on the side sometimes too. So that's my day-to-day. What about you?
My day-to-day in the world of education is I'm a professional school counselor for grades K through five, but this year specifically kindergarten and first grade. Mm-hmm. That's my jam this year. And I love it. And outside of school, I maintain my professional license. I'm a licensed professional counselor and a certified professional counselor supervisor. So I also supervise those trying to obtain their professional licensure in mental health mm-hmm. and counseling. Yeah. So with all that, that is my role officially in school and outside of school.
Yeah. And outside of school, we are parents of four kids.
Yeah.
And so we have
an adult,
20-year-old, 18, 16, and 10.
And she's 21.
Yeah. We're busy. I'm just so excited to have both of your perspectives on today's topic. And today we're talking about how digital forms of communication can impact relationship building and talking about your new book, Every Connection Matters. So starting off with the book, what is the goal of this new resource? It just came out this year and would love for listeners to hear a little bit about it.
Well, our main goal is we wanted to get back to the basics of what we think is important in education. When we all think of that teacher, that one educator that stands out years down the line, a lot of things that that teacher excelled in were the things that we mentioned, those relationships that we mentioned in the book. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to get back to that and highlight the importance of building relationships, not only with students, but also with your colleagues, with your supervisors, with your, you know, the coworkers, every entity within the school building. Mm-hmm. And we think sometimes that gets missed because teachers are tasked with so many things. And there's like 1.5 million things on their to-do list. Sometimes, unfortunately, relationships is not high of a priority on that list.
Yeah, definitely like a call to action or reaction to what we know as educators is the foundation. And we say, and we know we, that's the foundation. And sometimes we miss it. Because like Mike said, like just the urgency of just the day-to-day. Yeah. And you can't have the day-to-day and the urgency of like curriculum and standards and assessments without having the relationships and the relationships, like Mike was saying, relationships in all facets, families, you know, teacher to family, teacher to students and teacher to staff, all of those things. Yeah.
So as, you know, we talked today about the book and about this idea of how digital forms of communication can impact relationship building, in the best of circumstances, how does that enrich or even make certain relationships possible?
Mm-hmm. Such a great question. And as we were writing the book, one thing, you know, we talk about the pandemic and COVID. There's so many things that were heartbreaking and horrible during that time. Mm-hmm. And we also opened the door to accessibility to families through technology, through digital age, and accessible in a way that was just amazing and things that are continuing now in the sense. So I think that we had the technology there and we hadn't even gotten creative with it in the education space as much as we could. And now that we're seeing like, wow, you can use technology to make communication accessible, having families being open, more open and coming into the building, even if it's through digital, you know, like a text message or even if it's through Zoom or, you know, Teams or whatever platform you use, to be able to make it accessible to families and students in a way that it wasn't before.
Right. It's kind of like we stepped into the, we like officially stepped into the digital age, like we were kind of forced to, right?
Yeah.
We heard all these things about technology being in the wave and this was going to happen and that was going to happen. And then, unfortunately, because of COVID, I say unfortunately because COVID was unfortunate. But as my wife said, the beautiful thing is, it's like all these things came from it. That were already there. Like it was already there.
Yeah.
Zoom was already there. Teams was like already there. Like all those, all these different forms of technology were there. It's just in the educational spaces, we were not users. We were not high users of that. Mm-hmm. Well, many educators were not high users of that because there were some that were thriving that did exceedingly well. Mm-hmm. But there are some who, you know, and even now, are still a little bit behind the learning curve. Mm-hmm. That is something that needs to be a norm as we enter the, you know,
our world,
digital age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm wondering if from, and I completely agree there, right? Just this opportunity now for people to even have more vocabulary around like what's possible, right? When it comes to communicating, right? With that understanding that we were pushed into, right? Those sort of interactions, unfortunately. But are there instances where the accessibility of things like texting, like you mentioned, or messaging just with other platforms make building those initial connections, maybe it's with families, maybe it's with colleagues, but making those connections easier for certain personalities, right? People who might be more comfortable in one place or another, or even different age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it definitely, I would definitely say it is. And if you're talking about specifically for the students in education, K through five, while they are users of technology, oftentimes it's Roblox, it's Minecraft, you know, it's all the things. It's, I know I'm forgetting one right now.
Uh-huh.
Which one? What? either way, it's usually like a video game, right?
Right, yeah.
On fourth and fifth grade, they started using a little bit more for technology, for group me's and things like text and conversations and even shouldn't be on Instagram, but they are. Those things do start to happen. But for the students, it seems like once you hit middle school, that sixth, seventh, eighth grade mark, everyone's using it. Yeah. So if you're talking about trying to infuse technology within the classroom and trying to get that student who sits in class all day, doesn't say anything, engage.
Yeah.
That may be their jam. That may be their platform where they thrive, because now it's easier for me to, you know, to engage behind the keyboard and not face to face. And that's for some adults too. So
yeah. And even like, if so you're talking about like the student to like teacher, and I'm thinking like even in the book, like you're talking about like teacher to family.
Yeah.
And so in thinking about even for ourselves, so we're not,
teacher
we are not like, we are parents of, we have four children.
Yes.
And so it really helps us to stay on top of things when we get the text message that's like, hey, don't forget that we have STEM. That is so helpful. I mean, the papers are fine and we check the folders on whatever. This is like elementary and even middle and high. Like, don't forget, we have a college fair at the high school.
Yes.
And so those things are helpful. We also get, I guess it's like a principal's corner, like newsletter of all things that are happening, clubs that are coming up, middle and high, you know, those types of things. And so us too, it's helpful for us to stay on top of what's going on in the school system, what's happening, and really like not have a pile of paper that we have to remember to put on the refrigerator. So it's like super helpful in that way too.
Saving trees.
Right. And so so even in that instance, and so when Mike was talking about this, the teacher to the student, I'm thinking about even on like Google Classroom, when I see our 10-year-old Google Classroom and they're messaging their friends off of a collaborative activity that they're having online, where you might have a student that may be able to say more because they can message and text on this project that they're working on in their Google Classroom. And so those are lots of different things that we see possible and what can happen.
And even when you're talking about, when you expand it out to families, the main thing we always talk about it is the parent-teacher conferences. Using that platform for that, because that now has opened a window that was never, or opened a door that was never open before, because a lot of educators can recall the times, and they still may be able to recall it, even with the, you know, with the use of Zoom and other digital platforms. Parents may still not make it to the conference.
Yeah.
But imagine how many more are able to now, because now they don't have to worry about childcare. They don't have to worry about, I have to leave work at this time, and I can't, you know, now I can step into, I can take a break and go into my car and have this meeting instead of taking off half day.
Yep.
To go ahead. Or I can, you know, if you're an educator yourself, I can be in my class, get coverage for, you know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to have my child's parent and teacher conference. So it helps.
It does.
And just those layers, right? No, and like just layers like you're talking about, whether it's the student now being able to feel a little bit more confident to leave a comment on someone's work, right? Or message their teacher. Or for families knowing that like they're going to get that notification and their school or district has invested in that. And I don't even mean the money investment, but that might be part of it, but like invested the time, like in having a routine to push out a message to everyone. And then, for so many families who wish they could or would love to carve out time to participate more and just can't, right? Having more options is so massive. So I appreciate you both breaking down like all those different levels of communication and where the technology comes into play. So, you know, I think one thing that comes up often in conversations around technology use, and this might come up for your conversations you're having as well about building relationships, right? Is just how it's different in a virtual world than when you're sitting next to someone. I mean, I feel so lucky that we can connect today virtually, right, for this conversation. But with so many interactions occurring in a virtual world, do you worry about a decline in interpersonal skills for younger generations or hindrance for their own ability to build relationships? Are there skills that you see as at risk?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm when you were talking about it, I was thinking it from a parent side.
Yeah.
And so like even for a parent side, like, you know, we have three children that are teenagers. We have a fourth grader, all fifth grader just got a phone. Okay. We are choosing as parents to have some parameters around the technology use. It's definitely what we want them to do. We want them to have technology. This is the age. This is where we are. It's not going away.
Right.
And so it's one of those things that like we're like, okay, we have to say some rules. Like at the dinner table, we're eating dinner together. Let's talk, right? And we actually do have really thriving conversations at the dinner table. So I'm like thinking, even at school, right? In the sense of having technology, I think there's a good way in order to have a nice balance where you're having technology and you're including technology in your day-to-day and where you're like having, I'm an elementary school teacher at heart, but like having, you know, morning meeting where you're like sitting around a circle because on the floor, you're having conversation centered around text. So like what I'm saying is there is a balance there. And I think the balance is a healthy balance.
Yeah.
Sense of what even if you're at home and your parents or your parenting or you're at school and you are, you know, a school counselor or instructional coach or a teacher where you're kind of teaching some of these interpersonal skills that we would teach anyway, right? With or without technology, as well as having the technology be integrated into the classroom. So I think there's just a healthy balance. And we have to be really aware of when it gets unbalanced.
Yeah. That's so when you asked that question, that was my first thought was trying to make sure you have a healthy balance.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you will have students, kids, parents, families standing right beside each other and unable to communicate verbally next to the person, but they'll have their phone just like this. I know you, and no one can see. This is a podcast, but they'll be looking at their phone, texting a message to the person right beside them.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's probably a fear. Because that lack of human connection, right? And when you use that, when you lose that lack of human connection, there's a lot to be said with that. There's a lot of things that come along with the human connection, the empathy and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge concern. And that's why I feel like it's paramount to have that balance between the proper use of technology and still trying to foster and help kids create those interpersonal skills that are necessary to build relationships, like old school way of building relationships.
Yeah. And
having a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in the virtual space, we have our whole last chapter of our book is talking all about virtual relationships and how to build, maintain, and restore them. And so like Mike talking about like ways to do that. And even if you are virtual, so there are some virtual teachers out there. That's all I can do is be on a platform virtually. And so thinking about that. And so we do have that chapter in our book, if you want to refer to that as well.
And just, you know, even as you're talking, right, this concept of modeling, right? Like I'm just imagining the dinner table, right? Model, right? Like if we expect this is what we're doing. This is what everyone's doing. We're all in this together. Right. Which I think in a lot of situations is like easier said than done, right? For so many families, but just even in a classroom setting to be able to say like, this is a time for this, right? This is a time for that. Like, this is when you're turning and talking and we don't need to do this virtually if we're sitting here together. But the value of having the tools when you are teaching virtually, like you mentioned, right? In that chapter in your book on the virtual connection, it's a fantastic thing to have when it's useful, right? When the moment is right for these. So even coming back to that specific chapter in your book, right? Is there a suggestion or strategy you would want a listener to think about, maybe to put into practice in their own interactions, which even if you're not in a virtual by label, right, environment, you're probably connecting with family members or colleagues, even if it's not your students virtually pretty regularly?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. For me, I guess when I think about technology and I'm thinking about families, like teacher to family, I would say to make sure that you give a choice in whether or not like I want to have a face-to-face meeting or whether or not I want to have a Zoom meeting. And I think that some meetings call for face-to-face, and it just depends on what the meeting is, what's being discussed at a meeting, especially when you really want to be attuned to like body language or what's coming up for the parent, or the parent might need some support outside of that. You want to be really mindful of using technology when technology is not is an option.
Yeah.
Right. It just depends on the level and nature of the conversation that needs to be had with families. And so I would just say having the choice and also thinking about the context of the conversation that you're having with families before you offer that technology as a choice.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good reminder for so many of us that default to the ease or efficiency, yep, right, of a video call to say like, no, this one needs to be like this, or I anticipate that I'm going to need to respond to someone else's kind of movements or how they're leaning in or how they're, right, their energy just is, especially around a tough conversation, right, or something where you know being in a space together is going to really impact that relationship building piece.
Absolutely.
So as we're coming back to the book, before we officially finish up today, right, what is one thing a listener can do this week to put a strategy from your book into action?
One thing they can do this week, I would definitely say at the heart of the book is trying to make a meaningful connection with someone in the school building or in their building that they have not made that connection with. That would be one of the first things that I would say, and Nita will probably say, yeah, because you're the relationship person. Boom. But I just think it carries so much weight. And it not only does it like help you, it helps your colleagues too, right? Because who doesn't want to walk into a place of work where you feel connected to your coworkers, mm-hmm, to your colleagues?
Yeah.
You feel like not only do I belong, but there's like a genuine connection there with that person. So, I mean, it could be something as simple as taking time to speak to someone who you really don't see often. Hey, how's it going? Just checking in, like something, yeah, simple, something simplistic, because we always say you never know how close someone is to the edge.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm, you could be that person that day,
yeah,
that helped them take a step back from the edge. Mm-hmm. Like you just never know, because this world that we live in is progressively more difficult. I don't know, like use the C word. But like it's very challenging and it can be difficult when you don't feel connected. So trying to make that connection with someone by way of small talk, mm-hmm, conversation, a mm-hmm brief check-in just to see what's going on, that would be something I would say that you can start with tomorrow. Like mm-hmm, you go in tomorrow, you have your people that you know. They know you, you know them. You don't have to check on them every day.
Right.
But that you hardly see, you haven't seen, or, you know, not quite sure how they're doing.
Yeah.
Go check in on them.
And I'm sure, something simple, like you said, right? And I'm sure for so many of us, I know I can speak to this for sure. And for listeners, like we can all think of that moment of, I'm so glad I ran into that person today. Or I'm glad that person, you know, turned the corner, or we both reached for the same copy machine thing or whatever.
Right.
And just to be that person on the other side of that, that takes that extra moment to say like, I know I have a busy day, like I know I'm about to go whatever, like, or I just want to listen to this podcast before this happens, you know, like running to the car and that sort of stuff. But like that extra 2 minutes, right, could be so big for that other person. And I love that as a really actionable item for someone to take from our conversation today, especially if they feel like so much of their conversation, their relationship building, all those pieces are happening in virtual spaces, like really lean in to that in-person moment when it arises this week, because something will, right, this week that someone's listening to this episode. So where can people connect with you? I will link out to the book and resources and all of that, but for someone who's on the go today and just wants to make that mental bookmark, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
They can find us on Instagram. We're at Creekmore Convos.
Yes, all going joke because we, yeah.
We always go back and forth.
Yes,
it's Creekmore Convos on Instagram. Okay. And we're also on Facebook as well, Conversation with the Creekmores. We also have a YouTube channel. We don't talk about it very often, but we talked about it on our Instagram. We have a YouTube channel where we talk about education and parenting.
We talk about parenting, yeah.
And the book.
Definitely parenting is just day-to-day stuff, just regular conversation.
Yeah, and that was super fun for us too. So Conversation with the Creekmores is our YouTube channel. But yeah, they can find us on any of those platforms. And they message us, we will message back. So we're really accessible that way.
Perfect. And I will link out to that so anyone listening right now can find you all and follow along on their favorite platform. So thank you both so much for sharing these actionable tips and ideas with listeners today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It was lots of fun chatting with Mike and Nita today. Let's finish up like we always do with a few key points from today's episode. Connect meaningfully by engaging in brief check-ins with colleagues. Provide communication choices like face-to-face or digital communication. Balance tech use by maintaining an equilibrium between digital and face-to-face interactions. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Mike and Nita Creekmore, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 257. A big thank you to Bloxy, our sponsor for this episode. They're on a mission to revolutionize modern learning, always keeping educators and students' best interests in mind. If you love saving time, classrooms full of focused learners, and safe learning environments, go to www.bloxy.net. That's BLOCKSI.net to learn more and see details about the free demo you can book for your K-12 school. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.